This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Hull Show, powered by Chevron. In need of some positive vibes, in need of the Avs to just make it all go away. Kyle Fredrickson joining us, Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. Kyle, before we kind of get into the game, it's kind of what we expected anyway, but we see Nathan MacKinnon officially listed as a finalist for the Hart Award. So that's the Hart Trophy, but that is so obviously well-deserving. Is he going to win it?
I think that the odds are certainly in his favor at this point. Just for listeners' info, like, this is a Pro Hockey Writers Association vote that took place a couple weeks ago. So this has already been tallied, nothing to do with how MacKinnon finishes out the season. But, yeah, I think based on what we've seen from the Vegas odds, the way that MacKinnon just has been playing in general throughout the regular season, no one's been more consistent than this guy. So, yeah, if you're looking for a silver lining in the Colorado sports world after that Nuggets loss, that would certainly be it. Because, you know, come June when it gets announced, I really do think it's going to be MacKinnon's name, as they say.
What is it going to take for Nathan MacKinnon to become, you know, straight up the GOAT of the Avs? Because we know how many great players they have. When you win multiple cups, You're typically going to have several great players on that Mount Rushmore, whatever. But in your mind, what is it going to take? What amount, Hart Memorial trophies or another Stanley Cup? In your mind, what would it take for him to be the GOAT of the Colorado Avalanche?
Yeah, I think the MVP and being a multi-time Cup winner puts him in that conversation. You know, that's like Forsberg, Sakic territory. And what's most remarkable about Nate, and I don't think it gets enough credit, is just this guy's doing it in year 11, or year 12. I don't know what year it is, but to be playing your very best hockey that you've ever played that deep into your career, it speaks volumes about just the type of player that he is, the mentality that he has this late in his career. And we've seen it from the other greats, right? Like Crosby, Ovechkin, very productive players, into their 30s. So, we got to remember, this is just kind of that second decade for Nate wrapping up. What is he going to be like in 2-3 years down the road? Can he continue to get better? When we talk about his legacy, I think that's going to be a big part of it.
Well, and just so many things, so many items to decorate, especially this year, but overall his career too. I mean, the one that just is amazing is the fact that he had points in 35 straight home games from October to late March. I mean, that right there is just phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's what sets him apart. You can dissect some other numbers. He didn't finish the year with the Art Ross with the scoring title, Kucherov. He had more points than MacKinnon. But, yeah, it's the consistency. I think it was something like 85% of MacKinnon's games played this year, he had at least 1 point. I think he had something crazy like 44 multi-point games this season. So, yeah, I don't know how you define your MVP. Everyone probably has their own standards. But I would say that MacKinnon also passes the eye test, right? No one plays with as much aggression and force and high-end skill as this guy. Like Kucherov and McDavid, they're going to make, wow plays with their skill, but they don't play as mean as MacKinnon does. And I think when you talk about what an MVP brings and what makes him different, and in the eyes of a lot of voters, he also hasn't won the award before. He's going up against two players who already have. So maybe there's a little bit of fatigue there that's going to help MacKinnon. But by no means should that discredit, his ability to win it, because I do think that he's deserving this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's as far as the excitement factor and entertainment factor, he's just so much fun to watch and has been for such a long time now. Kyle, what's it going to take for this team to get past this tough one coming up against Dallas starting game one tonight? First question. Let's go to the goalie side of things. That was a roller coaster with Georgie for a moment. Game one was terrifying, and then suddenly it clicked, and he was. I mean, he saved a lot of games. He stopped a lot of goals. What is his situation right now?
Yeah, I'm real curious to see what version of Georgiev that we get, because I think the one knock on this guy is that his highs are very high, but his lows are very low. And it seems like he's a little bit streaky at times, but the way that he was able to just come back in that Winnipeg series after such a terrible game one speaks volumes about the kind of guy he is. Now, looking ahead, I'm real interested to see just what is the score after the first period? Like, what is Georgiev's body language like? Because, you know, this is another crowd and another team that if they kind of start piling things on, it kind of got away from Georgiev, and not just kind of in game one against Winnipeg. It really did, and it sunk their chances when really the Avs were playing well enough to win. So I would say, you know, Georgiev just has to be solid. I don't think he has to steal any games in this series, because when the Avs are playing their brand of hockey and they're scoring 5 goals a game like they did against an elite goaltender in Connor Hellebuck, it doesn't really matter how well Georgiev plays to a point, you know, because they can mask some of that. So, you know, Jake Ottinger has been great for the Stars. I would say on an, you know, equal par with Hellebuck in terms of the respect that he gets across the league. So we'll see what happens. Like I mentioned, a fast start would really do a lot to improve their chances.
Yeah, it was interesting that you mentioned Ottinger, too. I remember back in December, they went through a weird stretch, the Stars did, and they were giving up a lot of goals, but he recovered pretty, you know, shortly after fans freaked out. He was perfect again. I mean, he was back to his old form. So I guess that was the only interesting thing about that was like, okay, he's capable of having a bad stretch. Let's hope that that bad stretch is in this series.
Right, exactly. And, you know, give Georgie credit. Like, that wasn't an easy thing to bounce back from. And now they've had a really long break. You know, this team, you know, is going to benefit from that rest just from like a health perspective. But even Jared Bednar said today, like, hey, we're chomping at the bit to get back at this thing. And I think that's true of Georgiev and all these guys, because during the regular season, it was almost like this team didn't play as well as they did with a break as opposed to without one. Like, they sort of like being on the every other day playing a game schedule. But in the playoffs, I mean, I don't know if we throw those regular season trends out the window.
Sure.
Just because it's such a different game. And I imagine the Avs are, you know, they're going to have no, you know, excuses if things don't start well tonight.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us from the Denver Gazette. All right, so talk to us about the Stars. You know, what should we be looking out for as far as concerns and what might stand in the way of the Colorado Avalanche advancing to the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, you know, Ottinger is a great place to start. I think, like the Jets, goaltending is a real strength of this team. I also think that, like the Jets, they're built on depth, but even more so than the Jets. I mean, the Stars just have more talent, I think, lines 1 through 4. Logan Stankoven, his last name is spelled like Stank Oven. It's a good one, makes me chuckle for whatever reason. He's been a real breakout star for this team. He's on the first line with Rupe Hintz and Jason Robertson. But, you know all the normal characters, Jamie Benn. You know, Matt Duchene got added at the trade deadline, Joe Pavelski, Tyler Seguin. And that's what's fun about this matchup. I mean, there's so much familiarity between these teams that I think even for Avalanche fans, just, you know, that's going to make this series a little more emotional. Maybe the swings are going to be even bigger, I think, than what we saw in that first series, because these guys are deep and they're good. And, you know, Miro Heiskanen, you know, I'd go without saying that he's one of the best defensemen in the world, you know, a spot or two behind Cale Makar, another guy who can really make offensive plays from the blue line.
Who do you think is going to be, you know, the main star in this? Assuming the Avs find a way to get it done, who do you think's the star that's going to shine the brightest for the Avs? Not actually the Stars there, Kyle.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna go with the narrative. I'm gonna go with the story that would be the most fun. And for me, that's Val Nichushkin exploding against his former team, right? I think people forget that he went through such a slow stretch for the Stars that they bought out the final year of his contract. Like, Nichushkin didn't score a goal, I think, over the course of almost 100 games. So, yeah, it's for him to come out and do that against his former team and be such a big part of the Avs' success after what happened a year ago. You know, as a reporter, that'd just be fun to write about. And it's also feasible because Nichushkin, he might be one of the best net front guys in the entire league with the way that he blocks shooting lanes, cleans up those greasy goals. And to me, that's why this series is perfect for him, because the Avs, they're great at that tic-tac-toe stuff, the real pretty goals, but there's just not enough time and space in the playoffs to score that way very often. So Nichushkin's the guy who I think would put them over the top in a long series that, you know, will go back and forth, but ultimately I do think the Avs advance.
Well, and you know, I love that, you know, you're saying Val might be the guy, because that would be. I mean, you as a writer, too, you know you're rooting for that, man.
Oh, yeah, you know,
that's
Hollywood's going to come calling for the script, you know, that sort of stuff.
Well, and he was, I mean, he was special in this series. He made his presence felt every single game against the Jets. He scored in all five games, didn't he, Kyle?
He did. And, you know, first career hat trick coming in the playoffs. After what he's been through, it was, you know, that was one of my favorite games from that Winnipeg series. And yeah, and it's more than that, right? It's a complete game that Val plays, you know, really kind of giving them an element of physicality, one that they, you know, miss not having Gabe Landeskog out there. I feel like it's been so long since he's played that we kind of forget the style of player he was. But he brought a lot of the things that now Val is really excelling on. So it goes without saying that that's a huge part of what this team needs to move forward.
What do you have a prediction for us, how you see this series going down?
You know, I've flip-flopped, you know, asked me 5 minutes before puck drop maybe. But right now I do think that it's Avalanche and maybe six games, mostly because I watch these other teams play on TV and I've been watching the Avs in the playoffs, and they seem like they're playing at a different speed than everyone. And I think if they keep that up, they're just going to feel like a freight train where, you know, five or six goals a night feels possible because they're four lines deep right now. They're healthy. You know, I think Cale Makar has maybe saved himself for the playoffs to put on his best play. He's looking a little more agile and aggressive out there. You know, maybe kind of nursing some injuries through the year to be ready for this moment. I just think it all adds up to an Avs series win. But, you know, whether it's, you know, tonight or in game two, I do expect the Stars to take one of these games in their home building, just because they're built like a champion too. You know, if they beat the Avs in this series, I would expect them to, you know, be a team that could really contend for the cup.
Yeah, that's what my next question was, like, this matchup here. I mean, this kind of feels a little bit, I guess, similar to what we're dealing with the Nuggets Timberwolves. Maybe the winner out of that series is the team to beat, is the favorite.
Yeah, it's the toughest path. I mean, can you imagine having to go through Vegas and the Avs to get to the Western Conference Final? If you're the Stars, I mean, that is you know, impressive if they're able to pull that off, and would show the strength of this team and Pete DeBoer. I mean, this group reminds me a lot of the Avs, and just the fact that they have strong coaching, everyone knows their role, you know, just a culture of, you know, getting close in the playoffs the past couple years. You know, maybe they're angry enough to make a bigger run.
Kyle Fredrickson, always appreciate your insight, man. I'm sure you have a bunch of pregame stuff for us as you're getting set. You're there in Dallas, ready to rock and roll. What can we check out in the meantime from you?
Yeah, so today I'll have a little bit of a reaction on Nathan MacKinnon being a Hart Trophy finalist out of the room. No MacKinnon today. He didn't talk, but a lot of teammates, you know, chiming in on what that means for him. And also excited about an Andrew Cogliano story this week. You know, he's a guy in year 17. He fractured his neck in the playoffs last year. You know, I had a very candid conversation with him just about what it means to be an NHL veteran, you know, what retirement, if ever comes onto his mind. You know, some pretty good stuff that I'm excited to, you know, share with our readers in the Denver Gazette coming up here in the next few days.
I love your work, my friend, and we'll be looking forward to post-game stuff as well from you a little bit later on. And, hey, we need it. We need some good vibes, Kyle. Just do what you can. Talk to the fellas, okay?
Yeah, I'll let them know that the fans are struggling. That they need a pick-me-up. I'm sure the Avs are aware.
Yeah, we need one, man. Kyle, appreciate you, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Kyle Fredrickson with the Denver Gazette. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out, take a quick break here. I'll wrap up hour number two. Still got buy or sell coming up. Defensive intensity in the NBA. Also just foul calling and complaining about lack of foul calling in the NBA. Does the NBA have a problem they really need to address? And unfortunately, The Nuggets are the one that's bringing this conversation back into light, and I don't like it. We'll be right back.
The legendary Coach Bruce Dick and the biggest names in preps on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.